Okay, we're on Daf Gimel Amid Beis, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines in the top of the page. In the Hebrew English one is 3b1. Okay, the Gemara until now was discussing the various reasons why the Mishnah had to say the number 3. If we know it says Kesef Shtar and Bia, obviously it's the number 3. Why it says 2, and the Gemara answered the various different answers to exclude Chalipin or to exclude, like it says, Chalitz and so on. Now the Gemara starts a new Gemara. In the Mishnah it says, Bekesef. In the Mishnah it says, a man does Kedushin to a woman with Kesef. Okay, Gimel Amid Beis, page 6, 8 lines in the top. So the Gemara says, Minole, from where do we know that you can acquire a woman with Kesef, with money? Now even though last time we learned on the first page, Gemara learned about Kicho Kicho from Stei Ephraim, this week's Parsha, but that's later on in the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going through the process. How do we know from the Torah? Because all the Torah says if a man will take a woman, how do we know you could do it with money? So, and another question, Yavichim, page 6. So, this that we learned in another Mishnah, that the father has the rights to his daughter when he does Kedushin, whether it's money, the document, or bia. Now, there's a din as follows. In the Torah it says, let me first go back a little bit. There's 3 stages in a girl's life. Okay, in a boy there's 2, by a girl there's 3. By a boy, you're a katan and a gadol. Okay? Until 13, you're a kid, minor. Over 13, you're bar mitzvah. Okay? By a girl, there's 3 stages. There's ketana, naira, and as he's saying, yeshiva begeris, but correctly is bogeris. Now, a girl obviously becomes bas mitzvah 12. Earlier than a boy. Okay? So until a girl is 12, she's a ketana. From 12 to 12 and a half, she is a naira. After 12 and a half, she's a begeris. Now, as far as mitzvahs goes, once she becomes 12, she's a gedolah. Okay? But the difference between naira and begeris is only if she's still within the father's domain or not in the father's domain. After 12 and a half, she's completely out of the father. Completely away. The father can't acquire her things, the father can do her kedushin. From 12 to 12 and a half, certain things the father controls, certain things the father doesn't control. And this is what the Mishnah is going to say. Now, a father has a right from the Torah, and we learn that from a pasuk, that says that biti nasati l'ishazem, when a girl is under 12, a father has a right to make kedushin for her to any man he chooses, without her even asking her. Okay? If a father does it, the girl becomes a full-fledged Eishes Ish. That means the father has a 10-year-old girl, a daughter, and he likes this guy, and the guy says to the father, you know, I would like to marry your daughter. And the father says, no problem. And the father does kedushin for the daughter. So the Mishnah over here that he's quoting, the money goes to the father. The money goes.
What is the restriction on age? I mean,
what's the minimum age?
She's 9 or 10?
Any age over 3.
Anything over 3.
That's the story with Rivka, you know. You have to wait until she was 3. A lot of it, we didn't tackle enough from this week's parasha with Rivka. You know, loving and Besuel. Now, there's, just to explain the continuation of the, even though it's not relevant to the Gemara. What happens if the girl's an orphan? So the brothers and the mother could do kedushin for her when she's a ketana, but when she becomes a gedola, she can do what's called miyun, refusal. All she has to say when the day she becomes 12, I don't like this guy, and she walks out free. If the father did the kedushin, it's permanent. That's it. She needs mama she get, and there's no she can't refuse it and say I don't like this guy.
But if the brother's mother does it, she can get out.
Yeah. That's only if there's no father.
And that's rabbinic?
It's rabbinic. Because the Chachamim didn't want that girls should be hefker. You have to understand, you know, in today it would be called rape, what's it called? If you marry,
statutory rape
and all that. In the times of the Gemara, it's a very simple thing. People were very poor. If a man came and was able to support the daughter, the father was happy to give her away. Because then the man, the husband, had the obligation to support their wife. So the parents were happy getting rid of the daughter, so to speak, because it was a mouth less to feed. And they would make the kiddush. So it says like this. Ha'av zakei bebitei. Okay. The father merits the daughter's kiddushin. Bishkesef, if the money, remember the father gets the money. Bishtar, if the father gets the document. Or bebia. Now Tesis brings down over here from Yerushalmi, what does it mean bia? Bia is in intimacy. Because the men would give money to do kiddushin with intimacy. So that money, the father would get. So he says, Minolan de Mekanya Bekesef. From where do we know? Again, the Mishnah says, this other Mishnah says, the father gets the daughter's money. That means the Mishnah is saying there is a kedushin with money, and the father gets it. So the Gemara says, Minolan de Mikne Bekesef. How do we know that you can acquire a girl with money? And Kesef Davua, that the money belongs to the father, that the father keeps the money. Now this is when she's a ketana or a naira. That means whether until she's 12 and a half, the father can accept her kedushin and the father keeps the money.
I'm sorry, I didn't get this. How did the father get the money?
No, the man who's doing kedushin to the girl, right?
Right.
He has to give money, kesef.
It means three of them.
Either one of them.
Right. So why only get some money?
What else should he get?
The
shtar. No, he's going to get the shtar. Either the money of kesef, or the shtar, or bia. So basically, bia means the money that they would pay to do a bia. So how do you know the father? So in other, that Mishnah says two things. Number one, kedushin is done with money. And secondly, that the father gets the money until the girl's 12 and a half. So you might say, where do we learn this out from? But there's a general question over here. From where do we learn that kedushin could be done with money? That you give out a ring, money, a re'at mukadesh. See, where do we know that that's a valid kedushin? There's another passage that says like this: the yatzar chinam ein kasef, that the maidservant goes out without any money. Meaning like this. Alma Ivriya is a girl that the father sold as a slave. Which again, the father had total control of his daughter in the biblical times, even in Gemara times. The father was able to sell his daughter as an Alma Ivriya. Now, the girl was optioned in a number of options. The master can marry her if he wants, that she was sold to. He can marry off the girl to his son, if he wants, or she can buy back her freedom, or, and this is what the pasuk says, when she turns 12, v'yatzah chinam ein kasef. That means in Chut Pashas Mishpatim, the Torah says, if a father sells his daughter as a slave, she automatically goes out as soon as she hits 12. That's it. You can only sell her as a slave when she's a ketana, when she's under 12. So if you sold her when she's 11, she's out at 12. Okay? By a male slave, it's 6 years. Or he can buy his freedom. By a girl, she remains a slave until one of a few things happen. Either the master marries her, either the master's son marries her, or she buys out her own freedom, or the family does for her, whatever. Or, and, once she hits 12. So once she hits 12, she's free. So the Torah says over there, v'yatzah chinam ein kasef. She goes out free without any money. Okay? Now, that's a double expression. Right? If you go out free, free means no money. Why does the Torah add the words ein kasef? The Gemara says, so the Torah says like this, she goes out free, no money. Meaning, no money for this master. But there is a different master that does get money. Who is that? The husband who does kedushin for her, or the father. What?
You said for Jewish male slave, maximum 6 years.
Maximum 6 years.
Even if he was sold when he was a minor?
You can't sell a cotton as a slave. I didn't get into this, but you can't sell a male as a cotton.
Only female.
Only female. And only the father.
Right.
Bezdin can't sell her as a slave. Only the father can sell her as a slave. So then the Gemara says like this. The Amakar of the Pasuk says, V'yotze chinam ein kosef. So it says, ein kesef l'adam zeh. There's no money given to this master, meaning when the girl leaves the slavery of the master's jurisdiction. Aval yesh kesef l'adam acher. But there is money for a different master. Umani, and who is that? Av the father, if the father does kedushin for the girl. Okay? So therefore the Gemara says like this. The Yatzachina main kosef, a girl goes out free after when she hits 12, there's no money after being paid to the master. She goes out free regardless. Right? But the Torah repeats itself. It says she goes out free, no money. So the Gemara says that's extra. So it teaches us there's no money for this master who bought her as a slave. But there is money for a different master. Who is a different master? If her father accepts her kedushin, then the father has the money. Right? So the Gemara asked, Ve'ema ledida, maybe the money goes to her. How do you know the father gets the money? Maybe she gets the money.
What money are we talking about?
The guy who's doing kedushin to her is giving her money. So the Gemara says, Hachi hashta. 1 minute. Via Makabel Kedushel, the father is the one that accepts the Kedushin, because it says, as Biti Nasati Loisha, I gave my daughter to this man, meaning the father is in control. So the Gemara says, you want her to keep the money? That doesn't make sense. If the father controls her Kedushin, why should she keep the money? The father's in control, he should keep the money.
Is this the money that would be as a substitute, like for the ring?
For the ring, yeah.
We're talking about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing more.
It's a kedushin. No. Could be a pruta. Could be a cent. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is the father. That's the Gemara says. That's the way how we learn. The father gets the money. Number one, you see there is money. Because only when the Amma, the maidservant, goes out free, there's no money. But by kedushin, there is money, and who gets it? The father. So Gemara says, maybe the girl gets it. So Gemara says, how can the girl get it? If the father controls the kedushin, he should get it. So Gemara says, 1 second. The A Mahani Miliktana, maybe that only applies to a girl under Bas Mitzvah. The less Yod Lakaba Kedushin, she's not able to accept her own kedushin because she doesn't have, like we said, a kid's under, doesn't have the maturity. But a Naira who technically is able to marry off herself, why can't she do her own kedushin? Betishko kaspa, and let her take the money. How do you know the father can do it and the father takes the money? Let the girl do her own kedushin, and let her keep the money. How do you know the father keeps the money? So the Gemara says, Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Binureha Beis Aviha. The Gemara says by oaths, when she's young in her father's house. So the Gemara learns from there, Koshvach Nu'urim Binureha means like this, any money she makes as a Naira, Beis Aviha belongs to the father.
And the
Katan? The Katan for sure belongs to the father.
Young boy also?
A young boy can't do Kedushin because
no,
he can't give. Goes to the parents.
The minimum is put out. They could negotiate however
amount. Yeah, I can give her $1,000. If that's the kedushin, yeah. What?
The father receives the money. At 12 and a half, does it belong to her or it's his?
If what?
There's a kedushin money that the husband gives.
You have to tell me a case, there's too many different cases. How old is the girl?
She's 12 years old.
12, not 12 and a half. 12.
That's correct.
Right.
And the father gets the money.
Right.
at 12 and a half, does the money belong, does the father keep it, or you need to give it to her? Or
no, it's the father's money.
She gets a ketubah, he gets the money.
She gets a ketubah, where do you get the ketubah? If the guy divorces her or dies, she gets the money of the ketubah. Now they're both alive.
I mean, whatever.
Who keeps the money for the kedushin? The father of the girl accepts it up to 12 and a half. Over 12 and a half, the father cannot do kedushin for his girl if she doesn't want. And definitely she keeps the money. The difference is like this. Up to 12, the girl cannot do it on her own. She's a ketana. Okay. From 12 to 12 and a half, the father could do it, or the girl could do it. But regardless, the money belongs to the father. Because we learn, called shvach nu'ureh la'aviyah, that any money she makes, in anything from 12 to 12 and a half, goes to the father. But she's old enough to do kedushin by herself. In other words, if a 12-year-old plus 1 month girl, okay, accepts kedushin from somebody, it's a valid kedushin. But who keeps the money? The father keeps the money. If she would go work, the father keeps the money. Ktana, she couldn't do it on her own. If a guy came over to a 10-year-old girl, 11-year-old girl, yeah, and gives her money, a ring, and says, I am a kedushin, and the father's not here, it's worthless. It's an invalid kedushin. Because she's a ktana, she doesn't have the maturity to understand what it's all about.
She has maturity to get married.
She has a maturity that the father marries her off. It's the father's maturity.
She's the one getting married.
I understand, but...
What's the difference between 12 and a half and up and 12?
12 and a half becomes a begus. We said 12 to 12 and a half is a nida, 12 and a half up is a begus. Begus, she completely on her own.
Is this all Gemara about a girl that's being sold under 12?
What you're speaking about the Gemara about selling her as a slave, yeah, it's under 12.
Because you mentioned before that a boy under 13
cannot be sold, just a girl.
Why?
Because the Torah gives that right to the father to control his underage girl.
And if, so the boy himself can't sell himself, and the father can't sell him?
No.
It's the same thing if she pledges donation and she can't because of that. Is that the same age?
What age?
12 and a half.
If a 10-year-old kid pledges $1,000 to tzedakah, it's worthless.
Well, the father, or it's worthless. But when is it that the father can cancel it and say no?
By a girl?
Yes.
Up to 12 and a half. It's still his control of the money, even though she's an adult. But the Torah gives her, from that part we learn of Benorah Beis Aviyah, that anytime she's a Naira, she's still Beis Aviyah.
Nullifying her vow is anytime she's Beis Aviyah, no?
Yeah, but here we're talking about money, the money issues. Okay, then the Gemara says, okay, so the Gemara came to the conclusion, how do we know that there's money by Kedushin and that the father gets it if she's a Ktana or a Naira? Because there's no Kesef here, but there's Kesef by Kedushin. So now the Gemara says, "Alahod Amiravon Amirav." This is Ravon. This is the name of Rav. Minayin Shemaisa Basla Of. How do we know that the whatever a girl makes belongs to the father? How do we know that? Shenema, because it says in the pasuk, "V'chayim kereishes biti la'ama." If a father sells his daughter as a slave, ma ama just like by an ama, ma'isi adal rabba. Whatever she works as a maid servant, who gets the money? The master, Abbasnami Maisi Adel, love you. The same thing, the products go to the father. Why? Because if he could sell her as a maidservant, he could definitely get her money. Right? That's a given. Now the Gemara says, why do we need to learn that out from that pasuk? Typically, why don't we learn it out from the pasuk we just quoted? Binorea Beisaviyah. The Gemara in this second braisa, Rav Huna Merav says, how do we know that what a girl works for, she has to give the father? Under 12 and a half, yeah? How do we know? And they learn it out from a pasuk, Kiyim Kurdish Yizbita La'am. If you could sell her as a slave, for sure you kept her money. So Gemara says, why don't we just learn it out from a different pasuk? Binurea Beisaviya, that whatever she gets as a naira, goes to the father. So why do I need this pasuk? So Gemara says, why isn't it? Because by fathers in the daughter who dechsif, because that pasuk that says benodav beis avia is not speaking about monetary issues. It's speaking if a girl makes a vow, the father can annul it until she's 12 and a half. Until she's 12 and a half, the father can annul it. So what does that have to do with money? It's nothing to do with money. We're trying to figure out how can the father control the money. So the answer is, we learn out benodav beis avia. The question is, you can't learn out from that pasuk. Because that was speaking about the power of the father to annul the vows. How do you know the father can get some money? That you don't know. So he says, Hachanami here also concerning Kedushin, by a father and daughter, Mudachsiv, it says, by a father and daughter. Therefore, it's not dealing with the concept of Kedushin. So the Gemara says, okay. And where is it the chsiv? Because it says this pasuk is only by farsin dodim. So you can't learn out what's called the ability to nullify a vow to monetary laws. You can't learn out, as the Gemara is going to explain, v'chi tema nelef minei. So why can't we learn out kedushin from farsin dodim nullifying the vow? The father can nullify the vow that he controls her, so maybe he keeps the money too. The Gemara says he can't because mameina mi'isura le'alfinin. You cannot derive, the Gemara says, money from Isser. Meaning, there are different categories in Torah. There's monetary issues. There's kosher treif issues. Right? What's called Isser. What's Aser, Mutter. And then there's money.
What's Isser here?
Making a vow. Is there a vow? Isn't there a vow? Can he nullify that? It's not monetary. That's all vows. She makes a vow not to eat chicken soup. The father can nullify the vows. Nothing to do with money. So Gemara is basically saying, we can't really learn out monetary laws from the pasuk binoreha beis avia that teaches us that the money of a naida binoreha goes to beis avia to her father because we can't learn out one thing from the next. Therefore, Rav Huna and Rav have to say a different pasuk. How do we know money goes to the father? Because if the father can sell her as a slave, which is money, then obviously the money he gets. But you can't learn it out from a first and daughter. So the Gemara's question is, v'chi tema, maybe, nelef miknasa, let's learn it out from a din of a knas, a fine. And this is another category. Knas means, the Torah gives fines. L'moshel. The Torah says, if a man rapes a girl, or seduces a girl, he has to pay the father 50 shekel, 100 shekel. That's called a fine. It's not monetary damage. It's a knas. A ganav pays double. That's called a fine, a knas. Now, knas has one concept of halacha. Monetary things has a different concept of halacha. Isser and heter has a third category in halacha. You cannot learn out one thing from the next. By knas, when the guy rapes the girl or seduces the girl, the Torah says the money goes to the father. Yeah, but you can't learn out from there that if a girl works, the father keeps the money. Why? Because that's a fine. That's a unique din of a fine that the Torah says this is the din. Or you can't learn out from a fine that if the guy gives kedushin money to the woman, the father gets the money. You can't learn out from there because it's a different din completely. You can't learn out isser from heter either. Isser heter from money or money from isser heter. So just because, in other words like this, just because the father can nullify the vow of the girl, which is Isser and Heter, doesn't mean he gets money. Doesn't mean that if she works, he gets her money. Why? Because he controls Isser and Heter. He controls what she's allowed to do, what she's not allowed to do. But that doesn't mean he controls her money. And the same thing you can't learn out from the Knas, a fine, the fact that the Torah gives the father the money if she was seduced or raped or whatever, that doesn't give you the ability to learn out monetary laws from that law of Knas.
Because that's not a business transaction.
Because it's a whole different category.
We're talking about the Katan or
Doesn't matter, Katan or Naira, either one. Doesn't matter, same din, as far as the Gemara getting the father.
How come he collects the Kiddushin if the guy sends it off? The first case we have.
If it's a naira, the father gets the money.
But we're just saying, and that's a business transaction.
Kedushin. Yeah, but how the Gemara is trying to figure out, how do you know that? How do you know that the father gets the money?
If you could acquire her.
Oh, so that pasuk we learn enough from. The fact that he can sell her as a slave, that's a monetary concept. And the father controls that. So therefore, if she's given money, the father controls that. But you can learn it out from our Taurus Nedarim, or our Faris Nedarim, because that's Isser and Heter. You can't learn it out from the fact that if the girl seduces or rape, the father gets the money, because that's Knas. Okay? So therefore, the Gemara says the only way we could learn out that Kedushin money, which is mamish monetary, goes to the father, is from the din, ki sim kirish, as bitei lama.
Seducing means...
He convinces her.
Okay, that's also right.
No, legally it's it is, but not halachically.
Can we say as long as the father has a responsibility to feed her after she is stricken?
It's only rabbinic.
Rabbinic.
The Mishnah Baba Metzia says like this: the Metzia, a lost article of Bnei Ubite Haktanim, belongs to the father. Metzias b'nei ubite hagdolim belongs to themselves. Mishnah bar metzia. If they find something in the street, so the literal Mishnah means if they're ktanim, the father gets it. If they're gdolim, they get it. So Gemara says, was an argument that pretty sure is Rabbi Yechon Shlokish. One of them says, katan means katan and gadol means gadol. I mean, the Mishnah means literal. Under 12 and 13, it's the parents. Over 12 and 13, it's the kids. The other opinion, I think, is Rabbi Yechanan says, that's not what the Mishnah means. Godel and Katan doesn't mean age. It means the father supports them, the father gets the money. They support themselves, they get the money.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Why? No, but that's a different reason. That is a Takonis Chachamim. Chachamim said, look, why should an 18-year-old kid walks in the street, finds a diamond, right? In legal law, it belongs to the kid, right? Comes along Torah and says, no, if the father supports you, it belongs to the father. Yeah? So the Gemara says, why? Hey, the kids are gadol, gedela, whatever you want, mature. Why? So the Gemara says, it's Hakonos Chachamim. Chachamim said, listen, the guy feeds you, he supports you. It's only right that the money that you bring in goes to him.
That's
not halacha. That's not that opinion, by the way.
Maybe after you find the diamond, the father does not support you anymore. Does not support you anymore.
Not the.
According to the Torah, the father may not even have the right to support. At what age his right stops him?
His obligation? You don't want to hear.
I know he doesn't have an obligation to support.
You know what age is?
Three.
Six. At six, yeah, but you should see what Shulchan Aruch says about a father who dumps him at six. Shulchan Aruch says the obligation of parents to support kids is until six.
Why?
That the kids go out and work on their own.
From where does it
land?
6 years old?
I don't know. That's what says the halacha. But the halacha today doesn't, you know, it's a different world today. So today halacha doesn't say that. I think it says, and any parent that afterwards doesn't should get bitten by a snake. That very sharp expression in halacha, what should happen to a parent that doesn't support his kid.
But now it's 18?
Now whatever. It's all set age. Okay, so now the Gemara says, but 1 minute, when a guy rapes and seduces a girl, besides the fine, there's additional money that you have to pay. Embarrassment, that the girl was humiliated by being seduced or raped, and blemish to the family. Right? Where over there the father does get the money. And over there it's not Isser, it's not Knas, it's money. And yet the father gets it, according to the Torah. So why can't we learn out from that pasuk that the father gets the money? So Gemara says, okay, let's go back. Says, we're going back for Yotze Chinam Ein Kasef. If the girl goes off free without money, that means somebody else gets the money, and that's the father. So he says like this, Mistabrom, the logic is as follows. When the Torah says Yitzir, the Kavasi, Komamaya, the Torah is likening one departure to another. Meaning, when the girl leaves her master, no money is given to the guy who she's departing from. Right? When the girl turns 12, we learn she goes out free. No money. Right? She just leaves at the age of 12. So that, but when somebody else leaves the father, then they do get the money. Right? Who leaves the father at 12 and a half? The girl. Which means up to 12 and a half, the father would get the money.
Rabbi, the case of the person that seduced or raped, isn't he not obligated to marry the girl?
If she wants. If she doesn't want, no. Regardless, he has to pay the fine anyway. To the father, not to the girl.
Yeah,
correct.
Unless she's overage.
Yeah, over 12 and a half. It's a whole different story. Now, a girl, when she's a Naira and gets married, leaves the father domain. A girl between 12 and 12 and a half, when she's a Naira, if she gets married, she leaves the father's domain. Right? So therefore, just like when she leaves the master, there is no money, but there's a money by a different master's departing. So when a girl leaves the father gets the money. That's the way the Gemara learns it out.
Which money?
The money of Kedushin. Now the Gemara says,
so she lives where?
You missed the beginning of the Gemara, sir. So he says, you can't compare the departure from the master to the departure from the father. Why? Hasan, by the master, nafgale mishus adam lagami. When the girl turns 12, she leaves totally from the master. Leaves totally from the master. When a girl who's 12 gets kedushin from the man, she's not done with the father yet. It's only kedushin. When does she really leave the father? When she gets married. But until she gets married, the father and the husband have control. So she never really left the father yet. What is the Gemara likening now? Just like when a girl leaves the master by a maidservant, there's no money, but there's a different money when a girl leaves another master, i.e. the father. The Gemara asked though, but then the girl never leaves the father by kedushin, because until she's married, she's still under the father's jurisdiction, at least partial. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara asks, Hosam nafkale mishus adon lagami, over there, she leaves the master completely. She's freed. She goes out 12 from the master. She's completely free. But Hach over here, akati michsir mesir al chuppah, she's not married yet. Right? And she's therefore still under the father's jurisdiction. So the Gemara answers, ba'afaris nedarim, but she does leave the father completely. Okay, where do we see that? By Hafaris Nedarim, concerning the laws of nullifying the vow, if a girl over 12 does Kedushin, the father's out of the picture, nullifying the vow. Completely. Only the Chosn can nullify the vow. So you see, there is a leaving of the father completely. Not in all Dinim, but as far as Afaris Nedarim, nullifying the vow, there is a total departure from the father. And therefore we could learn it out from the departure of the master. So bottom line, so far of the Gemara, after the whole thing that we learned today, is very simple. The Torah says, V'yatza chinam en kosef. When a girl leaves one master, there is no money. She leaves chinam. But en kosef, by this case, but by another case, there is money. When does a girl leave another master? When she's 12, between 12 and 12 and a half a naira, if she gets kedushin, she leaves the father as far as Hataras Nedarim is concerned. So therefore, the father gets the money. So you see from here two dinim. Number one, that there's money. There is kesef. and the father gets the money. This master doesn't get the money when she's a maidservant who leaves when she's 12. The master gets nothing because she was only sold until she's 12. But another master does get money. Who's the other master she departs from who's getting money? The father, who she's departing from because of Ataras Nedarim, Ataras Nedarim, so that father does get money.
This is when she's departing and she's getting married?
The Kedushin was done. Kedushin. Right. So from there, the Gemara learns so far in the Gemara, we're not done yet with the Gemara, but so far the Gemara says, that concept teaches us that there is money of Kedushin, and the father gets the money. When a girl leaves from the master at 12, there is no money to the master. But the Torah says, ain kosev, which means somewhere else there is money to the master she's leaving from. The only other case where a girl leaves her master is when a girl who's 12 gets kedushin, leaves the father as far as the Taras Nedarim is concerned, and therefore the father gets the money.
Isn't it that you could go back to the earlier argument by saying, how can we learn halacha of mammon, halacha of mammon from halacha of Ataras Nedarim?
We're not learning the halacha. All we're learning from Ataras Nedarim is there is a departure from the father. We're not learning the din that there's money and who keeps the money. All we're analyzing and likening it to Ataras Nedarim is that the girl leaves the father. That's a reality. We're not learning one din from the next. Ataras Nedarim just teaches us the concept that the girl leaves the father. And that we're not learning out mammon from Isser. We're just learning out Isser teaches us that there is a departure. And therefore that teaches us for this din that the father will get the money.
They would pay her by Kedushin, right?
Right.
So that means Kedushin is more important than Rusin.
Edison is Kedushin.
But it's a different time.
No. Kedushin and Erisin are the same thing. Nisuyin is later.
Ah, okay.
Is this a case where...
One second.
Why is it two different names? Kedushin and Erisin.
That's the same thing.
The same thing?
Yeah.
Ah.
We just use our Aryat Mekadeshesi. But that's called Erisin. Nisuyin is the marriage that she can live together with the guy.
Well, that time they won't pay.
Nisuyin? No, but then the husband has to support her. It costs more money than the Kedushin, trust me.
Okay. I was just trying to follow. The father sold her as a slave, assuming she was 9. Then when she turned 12, where she's able to leave, but not 12 and a half yet.
She leaves at 12.
She leaves at 12.
That's it.
And then the father then marries her off.
If he wants to, he could.
Until she's 12 and a half. She can, but he cannot do that before 12, because then it's not valid, correct?
If she's still a slave.
If she's still a slave,
right.
Then it's not in his jurisdiction.
Correct.
After 12, then...
After she's freed.
When she's freed, then...
If you sell a 9-year-old, if you sell your 9-year-old daughter, funny, as a slave, it's called Amma, maidservant, it's just a nicer expression, yeah? Amma, the guy... Who, and the Gemara says later, it's an interesting thing. If you're selling your daughter to me, okay, so let's say I paid you $100 for to buy her as a slave. Whenever I want, as long as she's my slave, I could say, girlie, you're my wife. You didn't give any Kedushin now. The money I bought you with, that's the Kedushin money. So all I have to do is say, hey, girl, guess what? You're my wife. Then you have to treat her as a wife, not as a slave. Or, as the Torah says, Im levna yodana. What happens? I don't want to marry her, but I have a 13-year-old son. They say, okay, you know, your 9-year-old girl is going to marry my 13-year-old son. Less than 13, he can't get married. Your 9-year-old girl that I bought as a slave is going to marry my son. Same thing. The father has no control over that. Once, if that didn't happen, and the girl leaves at 12, then the father has a right to do it. Or if she was never sold as a slave, the father has a right to accept kedushin for his daughter.
Husband has power over the wife only when she's underage or anytime? In terms of money, collecting the money,
you talking about b'chal 50-year-olds that are married? 20-year-olds that are married? What are you talking about?
Talking about what we're talking about here.
No, I'm saying you're talking about control when? After the wedding?
Monetary control.
This is all before the chuppah. This is all in Edison time. Kedushin time. Not in the Chasana time.
So, Kal B'chaymer then? By Chasana.
That what?
That he has control over her finances.
In Halacha? Yeah, don't try it today.
Yeah, I'm talking about Halacha. We're talking about what?
Yeah.
Maisi
Adel belongs to the husband. But that's not necessarily true. The Gemara says in Ksubis that the husband has to support the wife, correct? And there's certain jobs the wife has to do for the husband. Cook, bake, weave, so, you know, all that, the various jobs that, it's a partnership, right? The husband has an obligation to support her. She has an obligation to do jobs. Correct? What happens if she tells her husband, you know what? I ain't doing your jobs and you don't support me. She has a right to say that. But I mean, she's a very wealthy girl. And she's not interested in she doesn't need the husband's support. They'd be 20, 30, 40, 50, doesn't matter. Okay? A 25-year-old boy marries a 25-year-old girl. Okay? Let's take Shulchan Aruch. Let's take today's Meshug in the world. In Shulchan Aruch, he has to support her. He has to make sure she's healthy, you know, all the things. She has to do certain jobs for him.
In that case, what she has belongs to him.
Then, whatever she makes goes to the husband. She finds something in the street, again, because he supports her, the money goes to the husband. What happens, the Gemara says, if the woman says to the husband, don't support me, and my jobs don't go to you, and I don't do things for you, she has a right to say it.
She keeps her income if she has money.
And then she keeps her income.
You say the same thing about a 25-year-old boy who lives with his father? According to Rabbi Yochanan,
if a 25-year-old boy is supported by the father and he finds something in the street, I'll be there, it belongs to the father. Now, if the father says you can keep it, that's fine. Or what happens if somebody gives the child, the 25-year-old, something, a present, on the condition, I don't want your father to have any hold on it, then he also doesn't.
And also if the boy says, I don't want to be under your
jurisdiction. No, that doesn't work with kids.
And I don't want your money?
No.
So even if the father doesn't support him, he's still...
No, if the father doesn't support him, the kid's on his own.
So what was wrong with that source, the Chiyim Koreshet Bito, the Alma, to learn that the father keeps the kedushin? There was nothing wrong with that, right? Why are we relying on Vayasa Chinam and Kasif?
Why do we need both Psukim Vayasa Chinam and Kasif and Kiyim Kurishas Bita Yolama?
That's much clearer.
It could be we have both. Tesis talks about it a little bit. It's because the psukim not necessarily that clear.
Why don't we learn the story of Eliezer?
First of all, it's before Matan Torah. There's a rule you can't learn out talochis from what happened before Matan Torah. There b'chal is a different story. Besuel died. You know, the Malach came and he wanted to kill Eliezer, the Malach killed Besul. So who did the Kedushin? Lavan and the mother. The brother and the mother. So it's only Midrabban. Technically, Rivka could have done Miun.
What's Miun?
The refusal when she reaches a Gedela. Right? So, Bechlal, it's a whole...
She was a
Gedela. Well, according to Rashi, she was 3. According to Taisa, she was 13.
Do you have to go to Betin for Miyun, or you just need witnesses?
I don't think you need it. I don't think you need a bet. I think the girl in front of two witnesses says If the mother or brothers did it, right, she could just say, I don't want this guy. It's over. But if she doesn't, then it becomes a...
She was a kid.
No, if she doesn't, on the day of her birthday, refuse the guy, that means she accepted it as a gdela, so then it's a full-fledged marriage.
She was a kid.
Yeah, then she would need a get.
Means
refusal. Yeah. Okay, now the Gemara asks a different question. Oh, we just didn't finish it. As far as the person she goes out to Tanam, because it says 1:4a1 that when a girl becomes Naira Mirasa, the father and the husband must annul the vows. That means the father himself is not in control anymore. You need the father and the husband. Okay, so Lepel, the Gemara says, we learn it out from Vayatza Chinam and Kasef, that there is Kedushin, and the Kedushin goes to the father. Now, the only time you could learn that out from a Pasuk is if the Pasuk is extra. Right? Because what are we saying? The Torah says Vayatza Chinam, she goes out free, and Kasef no money. So and Kasef is extra. Because it says Vayatza Chinam, it says already she goes out free. Why does it say no money? So no money is extra. Which teaches us that here there's no money, but somewhere else there is by Kedushin. But the Gemara is going to ask, those words are not extra. We use them for something. And if they're not extra, how could you learn out Kedushin? The only reason we could learn out Kedushin is because it's extra words. But if they're not extra, then we can't use it for Kedushin. So Gemara says, Ha-vi-yot-so-chinam. That she goes out free in Kesef. It teaches us this. I needed to teach us something else. The Tanya, it says in the Pasuk, the girl goes out free. That one refers when she's 12 and a half. Ein Kesef teaches us even when she's 12. Meaning like this. When does a girl go out free from the master? We said before, from the age of 12. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Gemara says, how do we know the girl goes out at the age of 12? Maybe she goes out 12 and a half. So the Gemara says like this. It says, V'yatza chinam, ein kasef. Chinam, V'yatza chinam teaches us, she goes out when she's 12 and a half. Now the Torah adds two extra words, ein kasev, to teach us that she really goes out at 12. In other words, when is a girl really an adult in all aspects at 12 and a half? That's when she's completely adult. Not for mitzvahs, for monetary things, from the husband, from the father, from everybody. She's adult, completely at 12 and a half. If the Torah says the girl goes out free, what age would I assume? 12 and a half. That's what V'yotza Chinami teaches us. She goes out at 12 and a half. But then the Torah says, Ein Kasef, to include, not only does she go out at 12 and a half, she goes out even at 12. But if the Torah said one of the two expressions, I would say she goes out at 12 and a half. Because that's more logical. At 12 and a half, she goes out.
That
it's an extra word.
Why should I learn that it's under 12 and a half?
Because that's the way Torah learns. When there's a din, and there's an extra word, even though l'cheira, the word has nothing to do with age, it has to do with money.
Why do you have to learn this? That it's even under 12 and a half.
What should it teach us? So the Gemara says, we learn
Kabbalah.
From Kabbalah Moshe Mesinai, that not Api Kabbalah. No, I mean, the tradition for Meshe Messina, Halacha Meshe Messina, that if the Torah would say V'yatza Chinam only, I'll put it at the upper age, 12 and a half. The Torah adds the word Ein Kasev to teach us she goes out at 12. So now the word Ein Kasev is not extra anymore. If it's not extra because it teaches us that a girl goes out from the master, a maidservant, at the age of 12, so how do I learn Kedushin from Amma if it's not extra anymore? The whole reason we learned out was because it's extra. We say there's no money for this master, but there's money for a kedushin. But if it's not extra anymore, you can't learn it out anymore. And the Gemara says the Tanya could be learned. The Yatzechinam Elu, you may back to the teacher. She goes out when she's 12 and a half. Okay. Now the Ein Kasef teaches us you may nidus, that even when she's a nidus, she goes out. Okay. Now, so therefore the Gemara says it's not extra. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Ravina says it's still extra. Because Lema could all let the Torah say, Ein Kasef without the Yud. Aleph Nun, the Torah could have written. Ein. Why does the Torah put in a Yud? So the Yud is extra. The extra Yud teaches us an extra din. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara is going to say soon, that there are times in the Torah that the Torah writes the word Ein without a Yud. Normally Ein in Hebrew is Aleph Yud Nun. Right? But there are two places in Torah that the Torah writes Ein without a Yud. That means, technically, Ein could be spelled Aleph Nun. The Torah adds a Yud here to teach us another din. In other words, not only is Ein Kosev extra, but there's an extra yud which teaches us two dinim. One din teaches us that she goes out at 12 instead of 12 and a half. And the other din teaches us that there's no money by this master, but by Kedushin there is money. There's two things we learn out. My Ein Kasev, why does the Torah say Ein Kasev with an additional yud? To teach us Ein Kasev Laden Zeh, Aval Yesh Kasev Laden Acher. There's no money for this master, meaning by the maidservant, but there's money for a different master when she leaves his domain, Umani, and who is that? The father. So therefore we learn out two dinim from this pasuk. And this is, by the way, very common in Shas, in the Gemara, that the Gemara says there's an extra letter somewhere, and that teaches us a whole new din. There's a rule, you can only learn out one din per extra. So the Gemara thought, Ein Kasev is extra. So the Gemara said, we can learn out Kedushin. The Gemara said, no, but we learn out a different din. We learn out that she goes out at 12. So it's not extra anymore. So the Gemara said, yeah, there's an extra yud. And the extra yud teaches us a new din. So from Ein Kasev, there's two extra things. There's the whole Ein Kasev bit, and then there's an extra yud. So one din teaches us that she goes out at 12 instead of 12 and a half. And the second din, it teaches us that by Kedushin there's money, and the father gets the money.
Is that one of the 13 rules we learn now?
Yeah, it's one of the many rules.
What about the fact that in the majority of the times, Ein is with the Yud? You don't take that into consideration?
The Gemara is going to discuss this a little bit now, but the bottom line of the Gemara is the fact that we find in Chumash, Ein without a Yud?
It's a stretch. I mean, two times.
It's not a stretch. So what? That means the pearl, you can get away with it.
But normally you would.
So according to this, every time the Torah uses Ein with a Yud, the Gemara would learn something from it. Wow. Or they would be able to.
Maybe just the word Ein could teach us one thing, and the extra word Kesef could teach us additionally something else. Chinam, Ein, Kesef.
No, the Yotzeh Chinam is not extra. It teaches her she goes out without having to pay the master money.
Right, but then you have Ein and Kesef, extra and extra. Two different extras. And if you... Okay.
Make three extras.
You need three extras.
No, because Ein Kesef is not extra. Because you're saying, Ein Kesef, there's no money for this guy.
It will teach us something. I mean, it's
but Ein Kesef is only one limud.
One phrase.
No, because Ein Kesef is teaching us, here there's no money, but there's money somewhere else.
Maybe just Kesef teaches us this.
How could that teach us?
Money,
that Kesef can teach us. You know what I'm saying? You can't say it.
You tried.
No, it doesn't. That's not the way the Gemara is. The Gemara is not doing that. The Gemara is, no, and in fact, we're not going to, it's later, but the Gemara is called, Mimai Dashin in Hachi. The Gemara says, who gives you a right to say, because there's an extra yud? It's not extra yud. It's the way the word is normally written. Where do you find a precedence in Torah to say that Ein is normally spelled with a Yud, but we're going to make the Yud extra? The Gemara said, where do you find such a precedence? And the Gemara is going to show we find precedences for it.